This week on the Media Corps Minute podcast, I sit down with Garrett Williams, the co-owner and founder of G&M Outdoors. This is a fun one, guys. Garrett started his company back in 2017, partnered up with his sister. They've built the company up over the years, and he's learned a lot of great things, and we dive into all those. So stay tuned for this one. Garrett, how we doing, man?
Yeah, I got no complaints. How are you doing?
Good. Doing really good. I was excited to get you on today. I know we were going to do this yesterday, and it was funny because, you know, we were both looking at the clock going, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
I got a text from Garrett, and he's like, hey, like, am I supposed to get a Zoom link or a call? And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, I didn't tell him we do these in person. So I sent you a picture. I'm like, hey, sorry, man. Like,
but get it
worked,
you tomorrow.
It worked out good. It's fun, too, because this is the first time we've met in person. Right. You know, it's been one of those social media relationships where we just, you know, constantly see each other online and, yeah. And you feel like you know somebody, but you haven't actually met him in person yet. So
from my point of view, is there's this guy called Media Corps who's always annoying me in my DMs. never gives up.
Hey man.
Finally, I'm like, okay, this guy's persistent. I gotta get to know this guy a little more. Cause there's so many people that reach out a time or two.
Yeah.
And when I'm really busy, like for me to ignore an email or one message, that's nothing. It's like I've learned because I'm always trying to get a hold of people too.
Yep.
To get a hold of someone busy, you gotta be persistent and you gotta do something a little out of the ordinary.
Yep.
Where like you've been very persistent for what, probably like 2 years?
It's been a while. I've been following you guys since you've been growing over the years.
I know. And I remember like you reaching out forever ago, like trying to get our business and you just haven't given up. So yep. That's really why I'm here today. So yep. Be persistent like Josh if you want to be successful.
Well, no, I'm excited to definitely get you on here and chatting here more about you and your guys' story. And even with that, you know, just even today, what is G&M Outdoors?
So I guess how I would sum up G&M Outdoors is everyone's heard of the American Dream.
Yeah.
That's kind of what G&M Outdoors is. So if you Google what the actual meaning of the American Dream is, it's the ideal that every citizen of the United States should have an equal opportunity to achieve success and prosperity through hard work, determination. So that's what it's been.
I like
it's,
that.
It's, you know, we had an equal opportunity. We started from the ground up, you know, and I think the biggest thing with us is we started really young. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing for, you know, if you're 35 years old, you know a lot of people, you know, and everyone assumes if you're young, you don't know anything, which is usually true.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any experience.
It's usually true, but not me.
I was like, you've heard of that one rare exception? Like, I'm that rare exception. And the reason that is, I started really young. The summers, 10 years old, I started running the skid loader. You know, farm kid. That's how most farm kids are. They start really young.
Yep.
In the country, in the middle of nowhere, you don't have the rules and laws and regulations you do in the cities.
Oh, no.
So, you know, by the time you're 12, you're driving a pickup truck around. By the time you're 13, mm-hmm. you're driving a manual dump truck. That's the way it is in the country.
Yep.
So everyone that lives in the country, been around, they know that's how it is. So I just started really young, working the summers. Run equipment. So my mom's dad had a small construction company, just like him and a guy or two. So I worked the summers with him. When I was 16, he retired. So he kind of said, you're off on your own. Started building his retirement home, and I kind of, you know, went off. And I worked for a couple big companies around the cities. And then I was 17. My sister, Marlena, so I have three siblings.
Okay.
My oldest sister, Marlena, she'd been in the construction industry for 4 or 5 years by then, doing payroll, scheduling, just in the industry.
Oh, yeah.
So I was 17. I think she was 20 or 21. And we always kind of wanted to start a company. We didn't know when, why, or how. We just always wanted to. So finally,
where do you think that came from?
It was almost like it was just engraved in us, like from the get go. And it wasn't like, so my parents, everyone's always like, oh, now everyone's like, oh, so your dad gave you the company. It's like, no, it's like my dad works 9 to 5 in a machine shop. He's never been in this industry. He's a great guy, but he wasn't what motivated us to do this. Mm. He wasn't, you know, it was more my grandpa who kind of got me started in it. And he was kind of like, go do whatever you want to do now. And my mom's always been in healthcare. So kind of the opposite of them. You know how it is. Like usually you see a son, he's like that. You know, split an image of his dad, or is he opposite?
Yep.
That's kind of how it is,
dude. 100%.
But so, in just like our work happened to be, you know, different. So that's just what that's kind of what we knew we wanted to do. And we figured, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out, we go back to work for who we're already working for. You know,
I had the same thought. I was like, you know, I'm gonna give this a shot, try to do my own thing because it's really not that hard to get a job, and it's not hard to work hard and, you know, outlast and outshine a lot of people these days. So it's like, it was always an easy backup. Like, I'll just go work.
You know? Especially if you're young, you have energy, you have drive. Like a lot of the quote, like air quote, you know, older generation says the younger generation is young, or, you know, it doesn't want to work and is quote lazy. But I always think, hey, who raised that younger generation? Like, whose fault is it really? Like, you know, kids don't raise themselves. Well, that's kind of how it is. The kids don't raise themselves. They shouldn't. Yep. Like, they're supposed to be taught to work hard as they're being brought up. So for the older generation to say the younger one's lazy, well, it's like, well, who raised them and whose fault is it really? Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that. But yeah, with less people wanting to work hard, that's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't have to work 100%. As hard to outstand. If everyone you know and everyone you look around is working really hard and building a business and is just grinding it out, then it's going to be really hard to stick out.
Yep.
So that's not, you can, it's all about perspective. You can look at it as, you know, an opportunity, or, you know, everything is hard and make excuses for everything. And
so who is the kind of the driving factor between you and your sister that was like, let's actually like do this?
Well, I think, so where I was at, I worked at a big company, you know, over 100 employees, and I worked for a couple small companies for a while, and then I worked there for like a year straight, and like I advanced, I got like $4 in raises in a year.
Nice.
And I just like, I'd done like everything I could almost do to that point. Like I was like maintaining the whole yard. I was coming on the weekends, and like I got the work done. And my goal was to be the best employee they ever had. Mm. That's what I thought. And that's what I was every day. And like, there was no one told me I had to. That's just what I wanted to do. My goal was just to be the best employee they ever had. So naturally, my boss liked me because I got the work done, and I always show up, and I was always on time. And the biggest thing I think for me was my boss at the time. He was supposed to retire in like 3-4 years, and then I would get his position. Well, I was like, well, I'm ready to do that now. I don't want to wait 4 years. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of these guys, they get older. They say they're gonna retire in 3-4 years. It ends up being 30. Seems.
Oh yeah.
these guys never know when to quit. They go on forever, which is awesome, but that doesn't help me in that position. Mm-hmm. So he went on vacation for like a week, and then they're like, hey, Gary, you know, are you able to run the show while he's gone? And I was like, oh yeah, no problem.
So they were trusting you to run the show. Like, yeah, that's great.
And I was just like, are you willing to? I'm like, yeah, 100%.
Dang.
I'll never forget this one day. I got there at like 5:30 in the morning, and I worked straight through to like 7 p.m. Didn't stop for lunch break, didn't do nothing, because that's what I had to do to keep up and get the work done, and I wanted to show them that I could.
Dang.
And after that, I was like, man, I can do this already, and if I'm not gonna be able to advance here for a couple years, like I gotta go do something else.
Yep.
So I was like, look around for a different job, do something. I know I can do more. So then at that time, like, oh, let's just, you know, start our own. So I went into it full head of steam right then.
Yeah.
Like, quit my job, got into it. And one advantage we did have is like, I was 17, I was still living at home. So I didn't have a wife and kids and a responsibility. Yep. I didn't have a lot of responsibility. Yep. There wasn't anyone else relying on me, you know what I mean? So like, that's one advantage. Now, if you're 30 years old, married, have kids, you kind of need a paycheck, or unless your wife has a job.
You can take less of a risk at that point.
Yeah. Yep. So like, but being young, there's pros and cons, because like everyone doubted me. Everyone's like, because most 17, 18 year old kids, they don't have much experience. So I'd already been doing this for 7-8 years. Like, I knew how to do the work. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, I wasn't, you know, fluent in bidding. I wasn't fluent in, you know, marketing stuff, but I knew how to do the work.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, there's different ways to do it. But I would, if you're thinking about starting a business, like, there's no better time than right now. Mm. Especially if you're young. Like, you have less to risk. In 5 years from now, you'll be so much farther ahead than if you just start then. Doesn't matter if you're older, have a little more experience, you're still going to be way farther ahead. Mm-hmm. So, and we started out doing landscaping, basic, like small patios, shrubs, trees, just whatever. We could take anything we could get. You know, because there's not a big barrier to entry.
And who was working at the very beginning?
Just me. I was doing everything, trying to get to work. Marlena still worked full time for like a year and a half. Because when you start a business, there's not enough office work.
Right.
With one guy in the field for a full-time office person. Yeah. She was like doing it on her lunch break. She was doing it in the evening. She was working until 11 p.m. doing on paperwork and everything, getting insurance. You know, we started payroll after like a year or two. And then, you know, just doing, helping me with some of the quotes, just doing everything that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. So we're the opposite. I'm an extrovert. I'll talk to anyone, anywhere. Mm-hmm. I didn't used to be like that. I knew I had to. I used to be really introverted, and I didn't like talking to anyone. So pretty soon I just started talking to everyone everywhere I went, no matter what. And then like it took like a year, where now pretty soon, like, now I can talk to I can talk to the president on the web, no problem. I'll get her done. So that just took a lot of just really forcing yourself to do it. It's like, and for no reason, like, it's uncomfortable, but it's like, no one cares. And the guy say, hey man, how's it going at the gas station? Mm-hmm. What are you doing today? You know, mm-hmm. what are you up to? What excites you? And pretty soon you do that everywhere, and do it in like in low risk situations. I'm not talking to a guy at the subway at the gas station. I got nothing to lose. There's nothing on the line. Just I kind of forced myself to be more of an extrovert. And then once I got there, like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, I'd rather talk to people than just, you know, stare at the ground everywhere I go. You know what I mean? So, but she's the opposite. She's an introvert. She would rather talk to someone behind an email or a phone call. Not that she, you know, has anything to hide. She's just, you know, just not that type. Yep. She's like digits on a screen, get her done, you know, send the email, like keep track of it, very organized, very put together on the back end. So, and you need that in a small business.
You're playing off each other's strengths really well.
Exactly. Yep. So, because you have to grow a business, you have to have both. If it's just me working in the field, there's not a lot of paperwork. But when you all of a sudden you have 15 employees, there's a lot of paperwork. A lot of billing, scheduling, there's a ton of stuff. And I see so many small companies now that they don't have that back end. They don't have, like, we do job costing. We do, you know, we track everything, every penny coming, every penny going out. That's a lot of work in itself. Every receipt, every, you know, material, what job is that to? So we can see our profit margin. Because I used to kind of run all the numbers in my head and thought we were doing all right. Once you have it all on paper, you realize, oh, this wasn't as good as I thought.
Yeah, that expense
and that came up. And yeah, that amount of hours was accurate. And et cetera. So we never really made any money until we had our overhead figured out and job costed really closely, which was like the second year. End of the first year in business, we did $260,000 in revenue and we had no money in the bank.
Yeah.
We're like, this is stupid. Like, why even continue on?
Yep.
And this is real life for most small businesses. A lot of people don't talk about this.
No.
Like, at the end of the first year, like, this was dumb. Like, we didn't make any money. There's no point in even going on until we figure this out, because why just build a business and never make
money? Why are we
going
to do this and work hard? Yeah.
There's no point. Yeah. So it was that winter that we really figured out our overhead. And when you have one truck, or like you know, you have one small camera, you don't have a big overhead. But I've seen some of your cameras now. It's like, those suckers aren't cheap. I was Googling so-and-so thing. I'm like, how much does that camera cost? Like, what, 60 grand? That's insane. And I'm sure that's not even all the features. So, like, this stuff's expensive. You have to recover that cost in your quote. If you just think, oh, take your time and everything, and you don't have how many days, because now we break it up of, okay, that machine costs $300 a day. We're going to be on that job 3 days. We got to charge $900 just for that one machine to cover that cost.
Yeah.
Insurance, payments, maintenance, everything. So once we figured that out, then we actually started making some money. Up until then, we never did. So I'm working on a YouTube video for that.
That was pretty quick, though. I mean, from first to second year, being able to figure that out right away.
Yeah, I mean, we had to.
Yeah.
Because a lot of companies don't. I talked to a guy the other day. He's like, I've been in business 25 years, not even do job costing. I'm like, are you serious? Like, how is that even possible? How have you made it this far? It was sheer luck. Or, you know, people do that. They just get by and barely enough to pay the bills. And we never wanted that. You know, we're not trying to become rich off a small company, but we want to make a good living. You know, we don't want to have to worry about every single bill. You know, we want to make enough to go on vacation and do stuff we want to do.
Yep.
You know, that's why you work hard. That's why you go the extra mile. So
what is your kind of like your main motivation, even like right now?
Well, so I tell you what, when you're anyone in the dirt industry, so like now today we do excavating, utilities, boulder walls, snow removal. We work in the dirt. Any 17-year-old kid thinks that he'd be the bee's knees if he had a fleet of equipment and a bunch of guys had semi-trucks going down the road and had all this cool equipment you can make Instagram reels with that cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's cool. So like when I was a kid, I just thought like I would be the bee's knees if I ever got to that point. So like 5 years later, I got to that point, did everything you'd wanted to do. And then all of a sudden when you get there, you realize then, oh, maybe this isn't what I thought. At the end of the day, no one really cares. I mean, like if you do $2 million in revenue or $7 million, no one really cares. What difference does it make? It's like, it's all about what you want to do, you know, on the life that you want to have, the career that you want to have. At the end of the day, no one else cares. People watch on Instagram, oh, that's cool, whatever. What do they care? At the end of the day, if I died today, like who's gonna, you know, at the end of the day, like it's not like, you know what I mean?
You gotta
kind of think of it, you know, as the big picture and like what really matters at the end of the day. You know what I mean? So that, but as a young kid, you don't know that. You know, you are young and naive, and that's what I thought. I just like, I want to get to that point for fun. I mean, and this is the industry I want to work in. Our biggest thing was we liked the industry, but we couldn't find the environment that we wanted to be in. You know, this industry as a whole, like people think of the blue collar and like construction, it's rough and tumble.
Oh yeah,
it's, people are crabby, screaming at you, you know, vulgar language everywhere. We didn't want to work in that for a whole life. Like the company I was at, I could have stayed there forever, but there wasn't a group of guys there. You know, there's some good guys and I still talk to them, I still like, but I didn't want to work in that like overall environment for the, I'm thinking, do I could do this for the next 30 years? Like, I'm not excited about that. I want to do something I'm excited about that I enjoy, which I do enjoy doing the work. I love the industry, but I want to be able to choose who I can work with.
Oh yeah.
Cause I would be like, you know, hey, could I work with this crew and, you know, this guy, whatever. And they were like, no, you know, you're fine where you're at, which I get it. Right. I mean, you're young, you're just starting out. Like, you know, you only have so much say. But that our biggest thing was we want to work in this environment and be able to kind of choose who we work with. You know, we treat everyone how we want to be treated. We always do the right thing when no one's looking. We have integrity, and we want people that are like that. Mm-hmm. So by having your own company, you know, you have some, you know, you have more control over that. So, and I also thought this is a giant misconception, which you can relate to, I'm sure, is everyone thinks like every being a business owner is you are the bee's knees. You can work your own schedule. You make so much money. Like yeah. life's just a breeze. It's a picnic in the park every day. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's what
That's what like the internet paints that picture of.
Well, it's kind of just like a thing. Like we talk to people, everyone wants to be a business owner. Everyone thinks that once you're a business owner, even if you started yesterday, you're still the bee's knees. It's like now that you're broke, you don't have any work, you have bills to pay. Like it goes in ebbs and flows. It is what you make it to be, but it's not what people think it is.
Yeah.
You know, would you agree?
Starting 100%. Yeah. I mean, like, I think when I started, I had that mindset too, was like, hey, you know, you put like CEO in your, you know, your title. It's like just you.
You're not a CEO
what
enough.
What are you talking about, man? Like,
you're a CEO of a bunch of bills. Yeah. Income.
This is great, man. Like of nobody. And, but it's funny because that's like the pattern though. Like you go through that stage and then you actually start to grow and realize like what it is and you're like oh like this is way different. And really you got to make sure that that's actually what you want.
100%.
Because a lot of times too, you know, the video industry is growing insanely too, and everyone that we meet, like, they're reaching out all over the country. People are reaching out. They're seeing this. They're like, how do I build what you have? Because that looks sick.
Yep.
And it's like, well, what do you really want? Like, well, you know, freedom and money and time and this and that. And I'm like, well, like, I have a little bit of money and I don't have any time. I'm here till, you know, 8+, like every single night, working my ass off to try to build this thing. And you know, and a lot of times too, like if it's not what you actually think.
100%.
It's going to be.
Yeah. So and, something that I've learned is like people always think, I want to go there. I want to go here and do this. It's like, you don't have any idea what that's like. Like for me, it's like, I wanted to do that. And like, once you get there, you realize it isn't what you thought it was. And it's like, it's, you know, like it's like, you don't really know what that's like until you're there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what it's like. I never knew what it was like in Jamaica until I got on a boat and went there. And then I realized like, I don't want to be here. Get me out of here. Actually, like people think in their head, like, oh, if I was just in Florida where it's warm, I'd be happy. It's like, no, you won't. You're still you, no matter where you are on planet Earth, you're still you. It's like, you have to be, you know, content. You have to be like, you know, happy with where you're at, with who you are, where you're at.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you go, you're not going to be here. Where you get to, if I just have 10 excavators, I'll be happy. Nothing could be further from the truth. You might get there and be like, this is
horrible. That's what social media does, though.
It does. I mean,
it paints this imaginary, like, thing. Amazing life and, you know, this and that. And it's like, it's
kind of a glimpse of, like, the peaks, which, who I was just saying it to, I was just talking to another guy who started a business, like Elon Musk said, like, starting a business is like staring into the abyss and eating glass. I mean, sometimes that's how it is. It's like you're on the mountain peak and then you're right in the bottom of the deepest valley you've ever seen in the back. That's how it is. It's like, there's no way to even that out, you know, it seems like, especially when you're starting. But I mean, if you find good people, find and retain really good people, create processes to control and get the things done that you have to every day. I mean, if you build a good business, like part of the American dream is like starting a business that runs itself. Everyone wants a business that runs itself.
Oh yeah.
And that they can just like sit there and just collect the money and never do anything. Like I know very few people that ever actually get to that point. It is possible, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, no, that's the same thing too. Of like, you know, people are going like, how do I get employees? Because once I have employees, like, I'm not going to do anything.
Yep.
And I was like, again, like, I thought that too. I'm like,
wow, I did too. That was way off.
I'll just hire a bunch of people, and then I'll just like
they'll do all the
you know,
work.
I'll high level manage everything and like make sure like it's still like running good. But I'll, you know, you read 4-hour work week or you know something like that, and it's like, I won't be able to do it. You know, the reality is like, the more people you have on now, the more you're working, because the more headaches and the more management and
100%.
The more training and development. And like, yes, you can get to that point. And like, we're continually striving to develop people and, you know, create leaders. And, you know, because if everyone's trying to work themselves out of a job, train that next guy, you know, then you can have that eventually. Yeah. But
so let me ask you this. You work with a lot of companies. Yeah. How many companies do you know that have ever got to that point? If you really start to think about it, there's very
no, there's not a lot.
There's very few to none. Like, I know people that have big businesses, like $80, $100 million, $200 million. I personally know people, have gotten to know people that have businesses like that, and they're like the busiest, most stressed. Like a lot of those people, they money isn't their problem. They have a lot of money. They can do whatever they want. But it's like, it's the problems and that, like, the things that they deal with mentally, physically, that is their biggest struggle.
Yep.
You know, you can, like, as we've grown, your challenges and your problems, like, certain ones go away, and other, like, as soon as you get rid of one problem, another arises.
Well, yeah, you get to the next level, and then there's just barriers that you've never,
you couldn't even imagine. Yeah, yep. Exactly. It's like, there's no other way to figure out what this is like until you just go do it. Mm-hmm. That's the only way. And then you might get there and you might love it, or you might hate it. And I've seen people do both.
They even say that with, like, employees. They're like, you know, from this to this, you know, like, you'll have these issues, but once you cross that line, you know, and, like, you need managers to be managing other people, and, like, there's this tier now, like, that opens a whole, you know, news, you know, can of issues, and you're like, oh man, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So you're always learning, you're always developing, and that was one big thing for me too. Like, as we grow this company, I'm like, I got in this because, you know, I wanted to own my own company because I thought it'd be, you know, fun and exciting, which, you know, it still is, but it was one of those things where, like, I knew how to sell relatively well. I knew how to market, and I knew how to do video, and I was creative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but past that, like, I don't know how to be a CEO. Like, right. I don't know how to, like, do that stuff. So it's this constant, like, you know, I've had coaches, mentors, went to, you know, different things, and you're constantly learning because at every step, and just like when we get more people and we grow to this, whatever this next level is, or, you know, my plan is to have multiple locations. Mm-hmm. Once we have that second location and a satellite, plenty of more issues are going to come from that. And it's like,
to be
constantly progressing yourself is huge. So even that, how are you doing that? How do you develop yourself?
Well, I mean, like, mindset, attitude, like, your attitude towards things, like, and your perspective is literally everything. Like, that's make or break, in my opinion. I heard a saying once that I've never forgot. It's like, if you think there's scarcity out there, you look around and you see scarcity, then there is scarcity for you. But if you look around and you see abundance, then there's abundance for you. Like, that's like, it's crazy to think, but that is the way it is. Mm-hmm. If you think that everyone's broke and no one's ever going to spend money no one would ever spend $10,000 on making a video for their company, then no one would ever spend that $10,000. It sounds like witchcraft, but it's legitimately true. If you thought that, like, no one ever would give you $10,000 and trust you with their project.
Yep.
If like me, I look around, like, man, that building was like $2 billion. Yeah. That building's $1 million. Yep. That guy in that hotel does $2 million a year. I know because I've done work for him. And he literally just told me that. And, like, I've seen that, like, you see that around. Like, everywhere I look, I just see millions and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
There's some people drive around and they just see pennies and you know, nickels, and that's all they think there is. Mm-hmm. So, like your attitude and, like, your perspective is literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm very thankful. I'm very appreciative, like, to have the opportunity that we've had.
You know,
I'm healthy. You know, I've been able to work, been able to put in the work. And we started with nothing.
Yeah.
Like, people say it takes money to make money. Well, that's not entirely true. Really, what it takes is work ethic. Because once you get started, you have to build a work. If we started with no money, we had $2,000 saved up.
Yep.
Spent $400 on an LLC. We put $1,000 down on our first truck that we had to buy in our personal name because no one would give us a loan.
Oh, yeah. No one gives you loans.
And we started a Facebook page for free. We use, you know, Wix for a website. Marlena did, you know, built a website.
Built my first one, yeah.
A couple $100.
Yeah.
We got our first job, like, through Facebook. Our second job was a referral from that. And then, you know, we didn't have any more work. So then we went to Home Advisor. And we literally, at the time, Home Advisor was $400 to sign up. We didn't have the $400. We literally put it on our credit card, on our personal credit card, and hope that we get a job from it to be able to pay it off. We're like, we don't know if we're going to make any money on this, but we'll try it because we need work. And that's what we did. We got a job from it. And then we got another job, and it worked out. But just, like, keep showing up, keep putting in the work. But, like, what drives me, I think, is a couple years in, I kind of had achieved everything that I wanted to starting.
Yeah.
Because when we started out, I got to be honest, like, we were so short-sighted. We weren't.
What year did you start, by the way?
2017.
Okay.
In July.
Yep.
So, like, when we started, I was really, like, now I'm thinking 3 to 5, 10 years ahead.
Yeah.
As, you know, when I first started, I just, like, didn't think, like, I was just grinding it out every day. You know, I love the work. I get a job, a $2,000 job. I thought I was going to be the next Prez. I thought I was on top of the world. The first job was $2,000. It took, like, twice as
long. It's in a struck.
Yeah, it's baby. A $2,000 job. I thought it was going to take me, like, 2 days. It took me, like, 4 days. And it was, like, ended up being, like, $1,800 in material. Didn't make a dime on it. And I was, like, that didn't work out. But, like, when I first got the job, like, I was on top of the world. Oh, yeah, I was just so excited, so gung-ho to do it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, as things grow and, like, you progress, like, it's certain things that you want, like, you just like, you don't want that anymore. You got to move on from it. Or you get it and you realize, okay, this doesn't make me as happy as I thought it would. So mm-hmm. what will? I mean, you know, the key is being, you know, sound and, you know, grounded spiritually, then you can be content. And then wherever you're at, you know, then mm-hmm. that's the only real happiness.
Yeah.
No amount of money, no amount of equipment, no amount of employees, no amount of social media following will ever make you happy or help you sleep at night. Yeah. None of that will.
Yeah.
So I think it's progression. It's really where you want to be and why. And, you know, and like, you got to think of the bigger picture. Cause like now, like for me, it's like, seems like 2-3 months, a winter season, a summer goes by so fast. Mm. So it's almost like, kind of like, you know, like where do we want to be and how can we be intentional on getting there? And that's what we're doing. And I mean, it's really, it's been a massive learning curve.
Yeah. So I mean, you learn every day. Yeah.
Yeah. Huge. Yeah. Like I said earlier, I've learned things that you would never imagine. Like, I mean, how is this even a thing? Like, how is this even possible? How did this even happen? But it did. Like, for instance, there's a large job we're working on right now. It's not signed yet. We're really close. It's a 7-figure project.
You're working on it, but it's not signed?
Well, like we've been quoting.
Oh, you're working on like getting it.
Working on getting it. We've been working on getting this job for like 2 months.
Buddy's out here like on site, freaking moving dirt, and hasn't even gotten the job yet.
Never do a job without a signed contract. We learned that one really early on. We haven't done a job in like 4 years. We're working on getting it. Yeah, we've been quoting it and going back and forth. We have all these. It's because to do a $2,000 job, that's an easy contract to get signed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've done $100,000 jobs, never even met the customer. Sent them a quote, had the scope of work, they were happy with it, boom. But when you start getting like, you know, $500,000, $750,000, $1 million, $2 million jobs, those jobs, they don't just call someone off Google to do that job. Like, they have to know you're qualified. Mm-hmm. You have to prove that you're qualified. Like, yep. If you have to get a bid bond, you know, if you have to get a bond, you have to show them all your financials. You have to show them how long you've been in business, that if this project went south, that you wouldn't, you know, go out of business.
Right.
So, like, some of these bigger, like, state public work, it's a big deal to get, which it's a bigger barrier to entry, which is good because there's less players in it then.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a small job, every Tom, Dick, and Harry can do it. If these bigger jobs... There's, I always say, like, these bigger jobs. To everyone, that bigger job is different. For me, you know, a $10,000 job used to be a bigger job. Now a bigger job is, you know, million, $2 million. But anyway, so like we're working on getting this job, and there's rumor gets around to the developer that we're doing, that there was another like state job that went bad and that they had to go on our bond and we're in big financial trouble. Mm. So he told me that. He's like, Garrett, this rumor is going around. He's like, the engineering company we're using says not to go with you guys because of that. I'm like, what? I'm like, where in the world did this come from? Yeah. He's like, yeah, so I need a couple references for the city that they heard that job was in. He's like, I need to talk to so-and-so at the city and I need to talk to your insurance company. I said, well, you know, if I'd been lying to you right now, I said, I wouldn't want you to get a hold of them because if that was true, you know, they're going to tell you.
Right.
I said, but, you know, the truth will always set you free. I don't know where this came from, but none of that is true. Here's the guy at the city. Here's our insurance company. Give him a call. See what you think. Calls me back the next day. He's like, Gary, I didn't think any of it was true, but I kind of had to just verify with his engineering company. And they were both no clue where any of that it came from. And they were all for it, like good to go. So. You know, there you go. The truth will always set you free. You know, mm-hmm. that's all you can do is just tell the truth always, whether you're in a difficult situation or not, and you got nothing to worry about. Mm. So, like, stuff like that. Like, how can I make that up? But that's so out of my control. What other people say, like, because this is another thing I've learned. I've always done a ton of networking. Local companies like in our industry, and there's times where everyone's gonna love you and they're like bigger companies, like, oh, that's great, you're doing that, whatever. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden 2 years later you're bidding the same work they are.
You're a competitor.
And now they can't stand you just because simply you took one job from them, or now you're bidding the same work. So like as you evolve, there's gonna be people that used to like wave at and smile at you when you drive by, and then they're gonna be flicking you off. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we've seen in real life. And so like it's those people that then create those rumors and do that stuff. It's like you can't control what other people do. Like all you can do is, you know, be the best version of yourself, tell the truth always, and you know that's all you can do. Mm-hmm. And then you got nothing to worry about. Like people can say whatever rumors they want. Like I can, you know, give references that there's the other people, you know, either higher up in the cities or that, you know, general contractor, and then, you know, you can debunk any of that as long as it's not true.
There's always going to be people that just don't like the success, you know, piece. It's someone was saying something about, you know, like everyone's excited until you're actually getting successful and like, you know, surpassing them or something like that. And it's like, well, now I don't like them anymore. Yeah. Like, you know.
Yeah. But it's like, what am I going to do about that? I'm not going to not grow because I might offend so-and-so. It's like, we're just going to do my thing. And like, yeah, you can't control like what rumors might be started to go around. But you know, if you're true to yourself and true to everyone else, like then you got nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. So like that rumor and like some of the stuff can actually have an effect on you. Like reputation is huge.
Oh yeah.
Like if I wouldn't have given them the references or they wouldn't have called the city and called, you know, our insurance company and everything else, like they don't know it's true.
Yep.
Like they don't know what is or isn't. They just know what they've heard from the guy that they used on the first phase of the project that doesn't like us anymore. Like they just know what he's saying. They don't know anything else. So like,
and word travels fast.
It does. I mean,
small towns or even in industry, and it's like,
yep,
stuff moves quick. And
yep,
yeah, we've always just tried to really focus on like the customer experience, you know. Yep. Really, like, to me, I mean, that's our biggest goal is like, yeah, we do video, like we have a great product, but how do we stand out? Like, well, yep. You know, we get results, we focus on the customer, we dial in our process, we give them a great experience, because you know that's the only thing we can do. It's like,
yep,
we can keep getting better and better at video, sure, and we're gonna, but to me, like, why do people keep working with us? Like, yep, expertise, customer service, experience. Mm-hmm. Like they're kind of seeing it as like a guarantee now. Like, I don't, if I want to take a risk and just do something cheap and try somebody out, like, yeah, there's always going to be that person.
There's a million guys you can do that with.
Yeah. And now it's like, you know, we've seen what you've done. Like, we want to lean on your expertise and go like, how can we do this? How do we use it? You know, help guide through the process. And like, so reputation just goes like with that customer experience so much. Yep. And,
reputation is huge.
Yeah.
I think like really the biggest thing is like is having like this as a standard in your company is like always, no matter what, doing what you say you're gonna do.
Yeah.
So like this is something that we do that I don't think a lot of companies do, is like, so when we like, our market is pretty competitive, you know, mm-hmm, air quotes competitive. There's a lot of people doing it, but there's a very few people doing it really well. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's a big opportunity in my eyes. So what we do, say you call me up, you know, you call me up right now and you want a quote for your project. Well, we always try to get out there and give them a quote. This is for like smaller residential jobs, you know, that $5,000 to $150,000 job, because that's where it's competitive. Someone wants to, they want someone they can trust, they can rely on. Because if it's at their home, they're gonna be looking at this for the next however many years. So they want it done right, mm-hmm, the first time. They don't want, you know, a problem down the road. They want it to look good and be done right the first time. So what we do is we almost make like mini commitments to them just to show them that we're trustworthy. And when we say we're gonna do something, we do it. Because it's so simple, but a lot of people don't do what they say they're gonna do nowadays. Yep. Hey, I'll be there, you know, at 10 o'clock, and they roll in at 10:30. Or mm-hmm, yes, we'll get this done by Friday, and it's the next Thursday. Like, and then just not really, really reliable.
Yep.
So what we do is like, say you call me right now and you have a project you want done. I'm like, yep, hey, you know, get out there as soon as I can. Are you available at 3 p.m. today? Yep, sounds good. See you then. Well, we'll be there 10 minutes early. I'll meet with you. I'll look at your project and I'll say, okay, it's 3:30 now. I'll send you this quote by 3:30 tomorrow at the very latest. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't have to do that. I can say, hey, I'll get you the quote when I feel like it. I can send it to you in a week. But we make little mini commitments like that, and we hit every single one. Mm. I mean, we hit the nail on the head every time.
I like that.
Worst case scenario, I'll send out like 3 tomorrow. But more than likely, I already know I'm going to send it at about 8 or 9 tomorrow, if not tonight. You know, so that's what we do. And then say we're waiting on a supplier, or there's certain things that are out of our control, and I know I'm not going to be able to get sent today. I'll shoot you a text or an email, say, hey, I'm waiting on this or that, or you know, had something come up. I'll send us, you know, by tomorrow morning at the latest. Mm-hmm. And it goes so far, people. Before you've even ever done the job, before they've trusted you with anything, you're already building trust, mm-hmm, and rapport, saying that, like, you know, I'm here, you know, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna say, and you know, I'm going to say what I'm going to do and do what I'm going to say. And that's what people want. There isn't anyone that doesn't want to work with a person, you know, a company like that. So like our sales guy, that's what I've ingrained in him. Both our sales guys, that's what I do. That's what everyone in our company does. And that goes a long ways.
So when you trained and developed them, I mean, were they following you around, or how did you like go, this is the way that we do it?
So Michael was our first estimator. Basically got to the point where I was trying to do bids, try to do everything. And it just got to be too much, you know, 14 hours a day, and I couldn't keep up. So we knew if we're gonna get to the next level, we need a really good sales guy. So we put out an ad like on Indeed and on LinkedIn, and we're like, hey, we're gonna find a sales guy. We set up like 4 meetings in a row one day, like an hour and a half apart, 4 different candidates that all seemed decent. And this guy, Michael, came along, and he just like, he like blew everyone else away. It was like, no brainer. This is the guy. Mm. Had experience in the industry, really outgoing, really positive, just like great guy, really teachable. So I spent basically 3 months with him, and I was like, I'm not going to try to hide anything I know from him. I'm going to teach him everything I know about sales. So we spent basically 3 months together, and he did all the work. I was just kind of there to oversee everything. I taught him. He started doing the quotes right away. I said, this is how we do this. This is how we do that. Here's why. This has to be that way. Mm-hmm. Everything in between. And then he just took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
And he's been great since. We just like, I think this is our fourth year with him now.
Dang, that's great.
So, and I was just thinking about it the other day. Like, he's never once told me, because, you know, he's always working back and forth on the quotes. He's getting all the material pricing, you know, typing up the scope of work. He's doing all the work, and then I kind of just oversee on some of the bigger stuff. A lot of the small ones he just does, and I take a quick look over and go, done. But like, he's never told me, hey, I'll get this sent today, or I'll get a hold of so-and-so by the end of the day today. Because certain things you got to put a timeline on. It's not like, hey, get this checklist done this month. You're going to be rushing to get it done the last day of the month. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it is. You, like, certain things aren't as pressing, but a lot of, like, when it comes to getting the customer a number and answering their question, that's very important to us. Like, that needs to happen boom, 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 now. So, like, he's never in 4 years, in three full seasons, he's never told me, hey, I'll get this done by this day, or I'll get this done by the end of the week, or by 4 p.m. today, whatever, and not done it. Mm. That's how committed he is. Like, he'll work till 11 p.m. to get that done today, because he knows he has a busy day tomorrow. He's not going to have any time tomorrow, so he kind of needs to happen today. And that meeting ran long, and he was in traffic. And then, you know, it happens where we're working till 10, 11 o'clock at night, getting the work done in the busy season in the spring. So, and that, he's so committed that way. And yeah, we have a base salary and then a good commission. So, you know, he earns his
pay. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So it's been a very, very good.
What have you learned from, you know, just hiring and, you know, working with so many employees, you know, over the years? I mean, that's something too. I mean, we're still trying to figure out, you know, how do we do interviews and how do we hire and what do we look for? Because I mean, we have 7 now. We've probably hired, you know, maybe 10 total. Hmm. But I mean, that's been it. You know, it's like we just have, you know, we're super big on like our culture.
Yep.
And like, we don't want to lose that. So we're picky with who we bring in.
You gotta be slow to hire, quick to fire.
Yep.
Joe? You're still here, so you're doing pretty good. You're still here, so. So the when we started, it was like, if you had a pulse and you show up on time, it'll give you a shot. Yeah. We didn't know any better, you know? Pretty naive. That's how it was. Unless I really, really didn't like the guy.
Some guys still do that. They need it. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. But unless like I really, really didn't like the guy, like, or the gal, whatever, I wouldn't hire him. It'll give you a shot. I was honestly too optimistic about everyone. I'm like, oh, this guy will be great. You know, his life has been a disaster for the last 20 years, but now we'll turn it around and it'll be great.
I'm going to fix you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, I didn't think I was going to fix him, but I thought, like, oh, you know, I saw so much potential in everyone. I was looking at it from my point of view of, like, if I was that guy, you know, I know that I could work hard and show up, whatever. But like, now it's like, if someone has a 10-year, 5-year track record of just job to job to job, they have an addiction, they're struggling with so much stuff in their physical life, there is a chance that they could turn things around. Just do the basics: show up on time, work hard, be honest about their time, not clocking, you know, out when they get home, and not clocking when they leave their house, and the bare bones.
Yep. Yep.
Where like, if they haven't done that in the last 10 years, the chance of them doing it now is very slim. Mm-hmm. It can happen, but it's about a 10% chance. So you're better off. It's just not a good fit for us at this time.
Yeah.
That's the famous email. Mm. Thanks for stopping by. This isn't a good fit for us at this time.
So I think that's where I get in trouble too. I feel like I want to give everybody a shot because I see the potential.
Totally.
Yep. I'm like, well, yeah, like, you might not be like the perfect right now immediately.
But you kind of think they can work.
I feel like we could get you there, you know, like, and that's, so I feel like that's been, you know, part of the problem. And
that was our huge problem, because that was with everyone I interviewed almost. So, you know, for any position, operator, foreman, labor, you know, we hired we have about 5 different positions. So what I've learned now is, you know, we've been in business like 7 full years. Six and a half, 7 years, whatever. So we've had 160 employees since then. Some of these guys have worked a day. Some of them we still have, you know, et cetera. So right now we have about 40 employees doing snow removal. So I definitely haven't seen it all, but I've seen a decent amount.
Oh, yeah.
I've had people that were like, man, this guy is the greatest fit in the world. This is going to be awesome. And in his first day, he's late. The second day, he doesn't show up because he's remodeling his bathroom. You know, I've had stuff like that. So what I've learned about people is, everyone has strengths and everyone has weaknesses. And, you know, then the more people you have, the more you have of both of those. So finding people that want to work hard, and it's really kind of like a really who you are as a person and what do you want long term. Because like I said earlier, like, we're in this for the long haul now. We don't want seasonal help anymore. Like, we want people that want to have a career, that like this industry and want to work in a good culture, you know, that, you know, we like I said, we treat everyone how we want to be treated, and that's how we want, you know, that's the people we want in our company.
Yeah. Yep.
So that there's no seniority in our company. It's about who moves the ball the farthest down the field each and every day. You know what I mean? And I get it. I've learned a lot about employees. I've seen, like I said, I haven't seen it all, but I've seen a lot where I've seen people where they go through a slump. They're awesome, and all of a sudden they hit a slump. And it's more than a day. It's a month or 2 months. The grandma died. So it could be anything.
How do you get them out of it, though?
Well, it's always like, okay, is this guy ever going to come out of it? And if so, when? And, you know, and how bad is it going to be? You know, because we've had guys that were awesome, and then all of a sudden they're showing up late. They don't want to do the work. They always want to leave early. And it gets to a point where it's not really working out anymore. But then it's like, okay, is this going to end in a week or two, or is this how it's going to be now? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because what I've learned is everyone is great on their first day. They're excited about their new job. They want to work. They you know, they want it to work out. But then you don't really see who people really are till sometimes a month or two or three or 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, how do you get to who that person really is the quickest? Because that's what you want to do, and figure out if that's a good fit for your company or not. But anyway, everyone's going to have a couple bad days a year. Everyone's going to have, you know, not every day is the greatest day of your life. So, like, mm-hmm. When those days are there, and sometimes it happens to be in a big job and in a you know, stressful portion of a project or a time of the season or whatever, then that sucks, you know, when they're in that slump, because it's never at a good time. There's never a good time to not feel like being there. So it's really navigating those and kind of deciphering and using your best judgment on it, because it gets to a point where it isn't worth it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So where is that point, and how soon are you going to get to it, and how long you're going to put up with whatever it may be? And with everyone, it's all different. It's all different. You know, it's like someone will always leave a company because they feel like they were treated unfairly, mm-hmm. or they're not getting, you know, the same treatment everyone else is, versus, you know, money. So, you know, it's keeping everyone, you know, it's treating everyone fairly. Even, like I said, we go off of who moves the ball the farthest down the field each day. Mm-hmm. It's because I've seen people in companies, you probably seen this too, they've been there 20 years and they've been there forever, but they're actually a horrible employee for the company.
Yep.
They're like grandfathered in. Like, they do the least amount of work. They know where they can get away with stuff. They're lazy. They don't do a lot of work. They want everyone else to do their job, and they're horrible for the company. Mm-hmm. And they're getting paid the most. Like, I've seen people like that. Like, that doesn't fly around here. Like, some guys, when they start with us, they get $4 in raises a year, and other guys get two because, or a dollar because of the work ethic, their drive, mm-hmm. and their just everything overall. So it's not like a dollar a year is what you're getting, be happy with it, get by. Like, no, it's who's going to do the most.
Yeah, you want to reward people that are excelling, putting in the work, you know, really, really a part of it.
Yep.
You know, they see the mission vision of what you guys are doing.
Yep.
They want to be a part of that growth, and, you know.
Yeah, they're consistently showing up. They're doing good work. They're doing the right thing when no one's looking. They're like, we've literally had guys clock in, because we use Jobber for a time in and out. Mm-hmm. And like, we've had guys that clock in when they leave their house, drive a half an hour to the shop, and it's the most, you know, it's the clearest thing ever. You clock in when you get to the shop and when you get back. Like, so, like, it's a balance between, like, you can't micromanage everyone, mm-hmm. but you also can't just trust them 100% right off the bat, because some people will see that and they'll just straight up take advantage of you.
Yep.
And take advantage of that, as long as you let it go, until finally you put your foot down and say, no, like, you can't do that. Here's a write-up, whatever, and that you got to do it. You have to have those hard conversations. You have to stand your ground, because eventually you're going to find customers and employees that will take advantage of you if you let them.
Yeah.
So
I like that. What do you think, just switching gears a little bit, you know, why do you guys stand out, you think, in your industry? You know, what makes, you know, G&M Outdoors different, you know, with, like, the work that you're doing,
you know,
when I think people are comparing bids and things like that, like, you know,
yep.
What do you kind of hang your hat on?
So I think the biggest thing is, like, we never want anyone to go with us because of price. Like, I always say the only way we're ever going to be the cheapest is if we're the only guy bidding the job. That's the only way we're going to be the cheapest. We'll also be the most expensive then too. But so, like, we want to add, we want them to pay, you know, for, like, we want to give them way more value than what they feel like they're paying for. That's our goal. So, like, our biggest thing is reputation, and it's doing the right thing when no one's looking. It's saying we're going to do something and doing that and much more. Saying we're going to be on time, being on time. And like I said, making those mini commitments is showing that we're trustworthy, that we're always going to make it right no matter what. Because like when you start a business, I'm sure you've seen this, is there's times where you have to do the right thing and that costs you all the profit on that job or even more.
Yep.
Like we that's happened a lot, especially the first couple of years. We learned a lot. Like I knew how to do the work, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to do a $500,000 job. You know, we worked our way up to that. So like we made plenty of mistakes along the way because everyone will make a mistake. It's how you react to those and how you handle those when they come up. Mm-hmm. That's what really defines you, is because I've seen people that make mistakes and they run from it and they act like the customer is always the problem and that it was everyone else's fault but theirs, and they flee from it and they end up getting sued. It's like, we've been in business 7 years, we've never been in a lawsuit. Like we've never had, you know, we've never fled from a job and had someone else come finish it. You know, no matter what, we've always stuck it out. We've always done the right thing when it costs money. You know, when it costs money, I feel like I think of it as it's going to cost a lot of money today and it's going to suck today. But in the long run, it's the right thing and it has to be done. So let's, you know, tie up our boots and go do it and move on.
Yep.
So I think that's the biggest thing, is like we're in it for the long haul. Our reputation is huge. We're always going to make it right no matter what. And all of our jobs, we do lump sum. We say, we're going to do XYZ work for X amount. It's not, you know, hey, we're going to get into it, and then we're gonna realize our margins.
Keep changing as we go.
The price will never change unless the scope of work changes. So like that's what a lot of people do. They try to get in for cheap and then just change order the crap on everything.
Yep.
And they know they're running tight on the job, so they'll make up ways to try to charge you more or charge you four times more for a small change order than it should be. You know, like stuff like that. We don't do that. You know, we have integrity.
There can be a lot of dishonesty in the industry.
Tons.
You know, just because people are ignorant and they don't know what's going on.
Yep.
You could say whatever and they would be like, I don't know any better, you know.
Yeah. But there's guys that knowingly go into jobs for cheaper to get the job, and they know there's going to be a change order as soon as they get to this point, and they know they're going to charge them triple what it should be. Mm-hmm. Like if it's an extra couple hours of work, you know, might charge you another few $100. Well, they're going to try to charge like $4,000 because they need to make that up. Like there's been, I've seen it where people all of a sudden try to like way over gouge them on change orders. So they just say, okay, do the portion of work that you're going to do and we're done. And then they kind of find someone else to come in and to do that the right way, you know, cheap, you know, instead of like, you know what I mean? Cause like people are smart. They're not going to be gouged, or if they might go along with it, they're never going to hire you again. They're never going to say anything good about you. And the world is incredibly small with social media and video. It's like, you wouldn't believe like what we did a $500 job for that lady. Well, now we're doing a $300,000 job for her friend or, you know, like just the craziest things where you, no matter what, you have to be honest and have integrity and do the right thing, whether it's a huge job, small job, whether it's someone you run into at Subway, you know, like no matter what, is be a good person, be who you are.
What do you think has helped you grow as quick as you have?
Mm-hmm. So I think as soon as you start doing anything, I think you've seen this, is as soon as you start doing anything, there's going to be certain opportunities that are presented to you.
Yeah.
You know, like if you do a $5,000 job, eventually someone's going to come along and ask you to do a $20,000 job, and you're going to be uncomfortable and you're going to be hesitant. You might lose a little sleep over it, and you're either going to say yes or no to it. You know what I mean? Right. You've seen that.
Yep.
So every time I've seen that opportunity, I'm like, yes, 100%. Let's do it. We're going to figure it out and we're going to get it done. And so like, that's what we've done. I mean, every time there's been an opportunity that's been a little intimidating or that's a little out of our comfort zone, we've 100% of the time said yes and took the bull by the horns and got it done. That's a big thing too. Like when a problem does arise with the customer, are you going to ignore that email, that phone call, or like, are you going to just run straight at it? Anytime there's ever an issue, we run straight at it and figure it out and get it resolved as fast as possible. Yep. I don't want that to drag out. I don't want to be thinking about this for a week. I want to get it done today and not have to deal with it tomorrow. I always think the more I can do today, the more I get done to do today, that's less I have to do tomorrow from today. So that's more I can do, you know, moving forward. Mm-hmm. So don't push stuff out. Just get her done. Don't drag stuff out. Work till 10 p.m. today to get stuff done so you have more time to do things tomorrow and productive things.
Yeah. No, I mean that's great. And I think, too, like something that makes you guys different, obviously being younger, you know, you have a different understanding of certain things, too.
Yep.
I mean, you guys have a decent following on social media. Like, have you been able to leverage that to do different things or gotten different opportunities? I mean, what does that look like?
So I'll say this because I know that no one in our area is going to listen or take action on it because a lot of y'all are lazy. But social media for us has been huge. Yeah. Massive. Like we get, so right now let me pull up my my YouTube monetization. So I think the biggest thing with us is we're young and high energy. And, you know, there's a lot of people that build companies in our industry, you know, a decent amount. Yeah. Like when a 40-year-old guy's building a company, taking it one step at a time, I don't think anyone cares as much as here's these two kids in the middle of Minnesota that are doing the same thing. Yep. So I pull up my, for anyone that does YouTube. So I make some money on YouTube now, a little bit of monetization.
That's great.
I have about 20,000 subscribers.
And do you really?
Yeah, so 20,000.
I didn't even know YouTube was your highest thing. That's awesome.
That is. So I made $519 in the last month on YouTube ads. I'm trying to get to pay my mortgage, which is $3,000, so I got a ways to go.
That's awesome, dude.
But so like people watch, we do Instagram, we do Facebook, we do YouTube, we're kind of everywhere. Because we, like we were talking about earlier, you want to get in front of people all day, every day, not just once a month or once every quarter.
Yep.
We want to get in front of.
I see you everywhere.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah.
Especially if you're in our area, you'll see our trucks, our billboards, our trailers, our signs on our jobs. You'll see us all the time. So pretty soon you're the go-to guy in the area because that's all people see. No one sees the guy that's not online, that doesn't have his name on his truck. That guy, to me, that guy doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. He's barely even in existence because no one ever sees him. He's not around. Which some people, that's what they want to do. They want to work them and their buddy and just do work, which is great because they can make a living that way and whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just, you know, that's not who we are. We want to be seen. We want to be the go-to company in our area. So social media is huge. Like there's, I can think of a new video I can make every 20 minutes. I make the ones that I have time for, that I make time for. But there's so much content you can do. Like on a $10,000 job, I can easily make 10 videos on it. And here's how we're doing this. Here's the before, during, after. Mm-hmm. Don't do this because we did that and we learned this. You know, there's so many videos you can, there's so much content you can make. I've always been, it's like, we didn't grow up. I didn't grow up with playing video games. I didn't grow up on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what Instagram was until we started G&M. I'm dead serious. Miranda's like, hey, I just started an Instagram account. I'm like, what's Instagram? Like, oh, it's this app. You post stuff. Like, I didn't grow up with that. Like, everyone has a smartphone now. Like, I didn't have a smartphone until I was like 15, 16 years old. And I didn't have any of that stuff. Like, it was like, I didn't have a phone really until I had a legitimate job. But I was 16. So I really didn't grow up with it. But I always loved taking pictures. I loved taking videos of everything I did way before I started the business. So when you're excited about the work, you want to document it. You want to take pictures. You want to take video. That's what I've always done. So the last, 4 or 5 years, we've consistently, you know, not super consistently, but like we're always doing something with it. Like we don't make a post a week. Sometimes it's once a month. Sometimes it's 3 a month. But the benefit that we've got from it is huge. Like we've gotten hundreds of thousands. I was trying to think the other day, like how much work have we got from YouTube?
Yeah.
But you don't always know. Sometimes people don't tell you till after they hired you or whatever. But like I would say in the last couple of years, we've gotten over $1 million in work just from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Because what happens is people watch your video, they see the work you do, and they start to trust you, and like it builds rapport.
Yeah, yep.
They know you're qualified for the job way before I even show up there. It's like when I show up here today, you already knew what I look like. Mm-hmm. Like you know what shirt I was going to be wearing because you see it all the time. I'm the same. So it wasn't like I just walked in here off. I just walked in off the street and cold called you like, hey, you want to do a podcast? You'd be like, who even are you? What's the deal here? Like, you know, and you know what I mean? Like I've never talked to you over the phone or anything. And it's like, that's huge. I go to look at people's projects and they're just ecstatic that you even show up to their job. Like, they're dying to hire you. And you shoot them a bid and you're even comparable. Like within 30%. Bam, the job's yours. That's a huge advantage. There's no one, there's 100 companies within 20 minutes of us. Not one of them is on YouTube. Barely any of them are on Instagram. Then any of the ones that are, like, the content's horrible.
Yep.
It's a picture of the dirt and it's like, they're, you know, it's just horrible. Like no one can relate to it. They have 3 likes, like it's no attention, no interaction. So like that's, I think we got some of that just simply by being young and being in the business. Yeah. It's not like our content is like second to none. It's the best content ever. No, this is a picture of what we're doing.
Yeah, but you're bringing genuine value too to people.
Yeah, and we paint some equipment white that no one else ever has.
Dude, that was sick.
We've done a few things that are a little unique, and that like that's what people want to see. Mm-hmm. Like they want to see. We've always tried to be our genuine selves. We don't try to, you know, just we don't make stuff for clout. We don't do stuff for that because there's certain stuff which this is what I don't like because I know I can make a video on YouTube that will do best with the algorithms, but that's not genuinely me or that's not like, I have to kind of make something up on the job. I have to make something go really good or really bad to get a ton of attraction. But I don't do that. I just kind of make the video. It is what it is. I know I could do better if you faked it a little bit. So I've gotten to know a lot of YouTubers because when I go online, if I go on Facebook or Instagram, I'm not just scrolling through looking at stupid, goofy stuff. I'm interacting with people. Like I go on there, I hit all my messages first, and if I see stuff, I comment on it. Like I don't just go on there and scroll. It's a massive waste of time. It'll give you anxiety. Don't do it. So like when I go on there, I'm using like Instagram, Facebook to connect with people, to, you know, to see what people have going on, ask them questions, try to learn from them. Like that's what I do online. So I've gotten to know and meet a lot of people that have 100,000 followers. I know a guy that has 1 million followers on YouTube. And every time I've gotten to meet and know these people, I've been disappointed. It never is what it looks like. I'm serious. Like it never is what it looks like. Like you said, like all you see is a little burst of like, this is perfect. All you see is the highs. You never see the lows. Like this guy's business is a disaster. Yeah. Like, he doesn't have an office gal. He just got billed $60,000 from the IRS because he didn't pay his taxes last year. He doesn't have anything set up on auto pay because he never has any money. He hates auto pay. I'm like, I love auto pay. I don't want to ever think about making a bill. I want to worry about getting the money there and covering the bill. It's like, I'm like, this guy's a disaster. Like this is a giant crapshoot, and he has 80,000 followers. He has these sponsors. Like this company's a disaster. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's a lot of get to know these people, and that's kind of what you see. Like, and honestly, it's like kind of a bum deal. It looks like you don't, because people look up to them.
There's so much fake.
Yeah, people look up to them, and this is how it is. Like they're good at getting marketing deals. They're good at making it look good, whatever. Mm-hmm. But their actual business is a disaster. And I don't want to look up to a guy like you said. You had a couple mentors. I was wondering, you know, who are your mentors? Like I can't look up to this guy. Like I don't want my business to be like his business is a disaster. He has a ton of sponsors. He makes money that way. His content is awesome, but that's about it. Like he's never had an employee more than a year or two. Like I don't want that. Like I don't want any of this.
Yeah.
So like, and that's what I've done. Like anytime I see someone that looks like they're doing good and that looks like I can look up to, I'd get to know them, take them out to lunch, go to their jobs, go to their office. And almost every time I ask, you know, ask and you will receive. Every time I ask, they're like, yeah, come on over, whatever. And some, there is some where like, now I can just kind of tell. I can tell when a guy is what, because I've met some really good people, down to earth guys that we work with all the time that are good, that they're not posting stuff for this and that. And they're not trying to make everyone look good. They're just showing it with how it is. And now, after I've done that, I can kind of tell kind of, you know, the guys that I can actually look up to and work with versus just look cool on Instagram.
People like to see like the
real deal.
The real deal. They like to see the raw, the behind the scenes, the struggle too. Because I mean, at a certain point, it's fun to see like, hey, like, this is all going well. But at the same time, like, how did you get there though?
Yeah,
you know, because I know it wasn't all just good.
It wasn't
all the time like getting there and stuff like that. And
it's
fun, and that's why certain, I mean. Even stories for us, like we try to be active on stories just to show what's going on behind the scenes. What are we doing every day? You know, what's happening?
What I've learned is like people can relate when you show the struggles. That's what people relate to, because if they're building a business, they're in the real world dealing with the exact same thing. It's not all just, you know, peaches and cream for them too. So like that's what they can really relate to. And that's how you build like a good, like close knit following. That's how you build a following that when you promote something, they all go and buy it because they trust you and they know that you're dealing with the same thing. And if it works for you, it's not going to work for me. So like, I did start, we've done some like promotional stuff. And like it seems like it's for me, it's like I don't enjoy doing it at all. Like, you know, you can make some money at it. Like you can make like good money. Like I can make a 60-second video and make $8,000. And like it adds up. Like it is. But like the second I have to do that, they give me the script and these points I gotta hit.
Oh, yeah.
And I gotta post it by the 15th and it has to have this B-roll. And I'm like, I hate doing this. This isn't what I don't make YouTube videos on a schedule. I make whatever I want, whenever I want. I film it with my phone. There's no timeline. I enjoy doing that. I don't enjoy it. It feels more like a chore. Feels like I got to do it, and like it has to be all this stuff. Like I don't enjoy doing that at all. So we've done some of that, but now almost every time someone reaches out, 99% of them, I'm just like, it ain't worth the hassle. Like now it has to be like a ginormous step. And plus too, like I don't want to promote something I don't actually use. Yeah, I actually know how it is.
Yeah, you don't want to be lying. And
there was really just a deal that we were doing with an insurance company. It wasn't our insurance company, it was another one. And you know, they're decent. I called around and I asked people that use them and I asked people that made other videos for them. And it was the biggest deal I've ever been involved with online. And I got into it and I started, I wrote the script and I liked it. And they said, forget all that, use this one. And I'm like, okay, I couldn't stand the one that, just that I was reading it, I felt like a fraud. Like, I don't believe in any of this. This is all crap. So I just emailed them back and I said, you know, at this time we already had a contract signed, everything, and I said, no, I can't do this. Like I don't feel authentic in this. I don't feel genuine doing this. I'm not going to do it this time.
Yeah.
And like that, I was just like a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
So like that kind of, if you do social media and you gain some following, it's going to open a huge door of opportunities, and 90% of them you're going to want to say no to. Cause like that's not what I am. I'm not a social media influencer. Like yeah. I like making videos on like on my time, what I'm excited about, but that's it. Yep. Like I don't want to make a video on, you know, changing the oil on my truck. Like I don't get excited about that. I get excited about the work we're doing, the projects, the equipment, the guys, the details. Like that's what I like doing, so that's what I make videos on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we want to be more active on YouTube as well. It's just it's one of those things where you're always like, well, what do we show? What are we doing? I think
show anything.
Anything. Yeah. And just more just like the real side of what it's like to work in this industry, to own a business, to do different things.
And anything you're excited about. And it doesn't always have to be this, you know, 5-camera crew, you know, like 10 hours of editing. Like just like everything I do is on my phone, dude. Because I had a camera, I had a gimbal, it was way too much to charge. I'm a busy guy. My time is very valuable. I can't spend 7 hours editing a video that I might make, you know, $50 from or something. Like, you know what I mean? I'm always looking like, hey, I'm gonna spend this much time, what's it worth? But like I enjoy doing it, but I only can do so much. So like I film it on my phone, on my iPhone 14, edit it on iMovie, and I post it.
Oh yeah.
That's all it is, dude. Yeah. And it works. Like I just film what I'm excited about, what I wanna do, and that's it. Like it doesn't have to be this big, you know, corporate thing. Just take a video with one camera of you going around the office, coming in on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Anything that you're passionate about, you're excited about, it's insane, but people will watch that. People that aren't even in your industry, people that are in the gas industry will watch your video.
I think it's hard too, because like I used to do more of that, I think. And then the bigger I've gotten now, the more pressure I feel like it has to be polished.
Yeah.
And it has to be.
It doesn't have to be.
This certain level. And, and like even like I know most of it like doesn't. And I think there's always a place for certain things.
Like, yeah, totally.
There's always a place to have this.
Like on your website. You want a good video. And like I went on your website. I'm like, yeah, this is nice. You don't want to just film that with your first camera you ever had.
Yep.
But like there's a place you want to show your best foot forward. But every video on YouTube, like at the end of the day, no one cares. Some few people are going to watch that video. Your first video is going to get 100 views if you're lucky. You know, maybe you'll go viral, but it's just a rare chance. Like you got to just keep making that. And nowadays there's so much crap online. Is authenticity wins 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. So just be authentic, be yourself. And that's what people want to see. Everyone wants to see the 100% polished version of yourself. Yep. That's not who you really are. You're not 100% polished 24 hours of the day. You know, that's your best foot forward, right? You don't have your best foot forward 24 hours a day. You know, you are who you are. And like, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I have videos, like there are certain videos like, yeah, I spend a lot of time on this. And this is like kind of my showpiece. I'm kind of proud of this one. There's other ones of like, nothing radical happened, but it was still before, during, after. It was still a cool video, but you know, I mean, not every video is going to be your best video ever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not realistic. That's not real life.
Getting more, just more and more stuff out there.
Yeah,
and, be consistent. Being real with it.
Yeah, you can't put out too much content.
Yeah,
as long as it's half decent. Because some people try too hard and their content just ends up being stupid because they're kind of forced to make a video by 11:30 today, and it ends up kind of being ridiculous. But as long as it's genuine, authentic, you can't have too much.
I think authenticity, like that. I mean, that's really big too, because even what we're doing on the professional side is like, we don't want it to feel scripted. We don't want it to look forced or, you know, anything like that. And that's like, I think that's why so many people like our style. Because when you watch it, you're like, oh, I was being real about this. Like, it's like really, you know, professionally done or whatever, but it comes across as genuine and real and authentic, and not like, oh, this was clearly that scripted, or this feels like this corporate, you know, BS or whatever. So like, we really like that on like let's make a polished video for them because of these reasons, but keep it as real as we can. That's why all of our stuff is interviewed. You know, we're not, I could make a script and have them do this little interview, or they could make a script, but at the end of the day, like, you can see that.
Yeah.
There's no hiding that, you know,
no one wants to watch that.
No.
If they want to watch it, they'll listen to an audiobook. Like, listen to that. If I sit there and read a script, that video will get 50 views. If I'm just out saying whatever I think, that'll get hundreds of thousands of views. So, like, I've seen that. I've watched your videos. I spent probably half an hour last night just going through your Instagram. Like, I've watched all these videos. You're right. Like, your videos, like, you're with that painting company that you did and with Rice, like, it just seems like they're saying who they are, and it's a very good, very professional video, but it didn't have like the, because anything like corporate or like that's too polished, it's not relatable. No one relates to that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like no one, it looks cool, whatever, but no one like, oh, that makes sense or that's actually cool. Where yep. your videos were like, they're actually relatable. It was like people in their environment saying what they were, who they were. They weren't just sitting there trying to memorize this thing yeah. and read that off. Like you can't
yeah.
do that.
Yep.
Like people ask like, hey, if you go do a podcast, you know, how much time are you going to spend preparing? It's like, what is there to prepare? It's like, I know that I've lived, eat and breathe this stuff. Yeah. What am I going to do? Like I could write down some bullet points, but like, you know what I mean? Like I don't have to prepare to tell my life story. You have to prepare to tell your childhood story.
No.
Like if you did that, like, what are you making right. stuff up? Or no. you, like,
what are you faking here?
Right. You know exactly. You remember yep. certain stuff like that. And that yep. stuff never goes away.
No.
Yep. There's certain experiences and stuff that I've done with work and their business that I'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's like, I don't have to write this down. I don't have to.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's been like the worst or like the most like gut wrenching thing that's ever happened to you in your business?
For the business,
like man, this just sucks, and I hate my life, and I wish that I wasn't here right now.
I mean, on the customer side, there's been like the gut wrenching, like, and it's never been anything like that bad.
Yeah.
But when someone's, you know, when even like the littlest thing, like when they're like disappointed or something like that, I'm like, oh, like that. That's not who we are, you know. Yeah. Literally yesterday, I called somebody because they were talking with one of our sales guys, and they just weren't happy with something.
Was it like the final product, or are we still in the works?
No, it was in the works. Like we had just shot, and there was like certain things and expectations that they had that were different.
That's the easiest time to make it up, though, right? Because you're still in
the process. I called immediately, and I'm like, you know, and I hadn't talked to her yet. I didn't know, but I'm just like I want to figure this out because like I don't believe in like that and so like things like that. But I think the, you know, business in general, just knowing how close different times we've been to just like, you know, are we making payroll this week?
Yeah. You know, dude, like I'll be honest, like for the first like three and a half years, there was times where I literally had to I always save my money personally. Like in the business, I always like to reinvest and put it back. Like my paycheck, I've always saved. I always plan for the worst.
Yep.
So like there's been times where I had to take money from my personal account to make payroll. And it wasn't that we didn't have any money. It's that no one is paid. We have 150,000 in work or 100,000, whatever that number is for you. And you've paid for all that work and you haven't got paid nothing. So as of today, I'm tight on money.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been where I had to take 10 grand from my personal account to pay the bills. And then, you know, then the business would pay it back whenever they got paid because we didn't have a line of credit. No bank would, you know, we didn't have a line of credit. We didn't have, you know, we can't put payroll on the credit card. So, you know, there's times where that does happen and it sucks.
Yep. Yep. So that's more like the sleepless nights, I guess, of like the business side where, you know, it's just like, dude, what are we doing this for? You know, like I can make a ton of money doing, you know, something else for somebody and be a rock star at it and then just clock out and be like, see ya, you know.
See you at 7 tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, so it's that battle of like, you know, you really got to know what you're doing and like why you're doing it.
Otherwise, it won't get you through the
big, you won't last.
No, yeah, you won't. And I've seen so many people like that. Like there's one guy like in our area that I asked him, like I got lunch. I'm like, you know, what's the purpose of your business? Why are you doing this? Like, well, really, it's so I can buy, you know, so I can afford the toys that I want, the snowmobile, the dirt bike, whatever. And it's like, that's not really that good of a motivation. Like you can always have the newest snowmobile, but you're not going to wake up at 4 a.m. to go do that job and do that tough thing to afford a snowmobile. You go work for someone else, make 150 grand a year. Right. You can afford the same thing. And at the end of the day, you know, it's like his business it's just like even keel. It's just not doing good. You know, he's doing it for the wrong reason. It's not going to last. If it does, it ain't going to be good. Like it ain't going to be great.
And my motivations have changed over the years too. Big time. You know, like you get in for a certain reason, you learn things and it changes for a certain reason. I think, too, like building a team and having responsibility of other people's, you know, their well-being, their paycheck, you know, knowing that you're responsible for continuing the business and growing so that they're taken care of as well.
Hmm.
I mean, all those things come into, you know, play. Right. But
and that is super rewarding to see people start out and to build them up and to pay them. Like, man, I'm paying you double what you started at now. And you've earned every dollar of it. Like, that. Like to me, that's super rewarding. I love doing that. That's one of the best things.
Yeah, and we've always wanted everyone to like share in the success. Like, 100%. We want to keep growing. We have big ambitions for this, and you know we want to have locations all over the U.S. and we want to be serving local communities and industries. And you know, it's just we love what we do, and like it's fun to because like we hear. I mean, the videos are great, the relationships are awesome, But some of the things that you hear, you know, because like some people will only do one video in their lifetime.
Yep.
But this could be that legacy piece for them.
100%. You know? Like, yeah, their grandkids are watching that.
Yep.
Looking at, oh, like that was so-and-so's business. Like, wow. Like, yeah, video is huge.
Yeah. We've had multiple people do it for that alone. Like, I want to, hey, you know, I'm second generation and my kids and their kids, like, I want them to be able to see, you know, what dad or grandpa had started and worked his entire life building, mm-hmm. to be able to show them that, you know, while he's sharp and before he's gone. And yep. people have done that now. And then so-and-so has passed and they're like, they come back like, dude, I'm so grateful that we did this. Like, yep. this is such a cool thing.
A year later, five years later. Yeah. It's like my great grandparents. It's like I've heard of them, whatever. I've seen a couple black and white blurry pictures. Like, yep. I don't have a video of them. I have no idea, you know, I would love to see a 10-minute video of him doing anything. Like, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, what he did, their why, you know, and all that. It's just like, it's so cool to be able to document milestones, progress, you know, all those things. And we've had the flip side too, where like people, like someone has passed and it's like, like, damn, like, I really wish, you know, and it's like, that sucks. But, you know, like, everyone has a different reason, you know, and it's really just like, we're not sitting here going like, hey, you need to be doing this and this and this. It's more, hey, let's learn about you, what you guys are doing. And if we can help in any way, like, let's explore that. But if not, if it doesn't make sense, you know, don't do it. But everyone's got a different motivation, you know.
Yeah, and you don't always know what that is up front.
Yeah, no way.
Like I've learned that. Sometimes you don't figure that out until the job's done sometimes.
Yep.
So, like, what I do is when I go to look at a job, I always figure out, what's your why? Why do you even want to do this job? Yep. Like, you want to build a patio, you want to build this big boulder wall, you want to build this building, and you want us to do the excavation utilities. What are you even doing this? And then, like, and you figure out their why, then you can really kind of serve and deliver on that. Like, you know, this one thing is really important to them. We'll, you know, make sure we can do really good on that. Here's how we can do to improve that and to keep that the priority. Like, I'm always figuring out, like, when I'm always asking the questions of trying to get to, you know, what's the whole reason here. And, you know, I used to think everyone was our customer. If you asked me 3 years ago, who's your customer? I'm like, everyone that has a building, everyone that has a house, everyone ever is my customer. Where now it's like 10% of the population or less is our customer. You know, we want people that are willing to pay more to get more. That's our ideal customer, who wants a quality job, who wants someone that they can call in 5 years when there's an issue or some little thing that comes up, and they know we're going to be there. Like, people will pay more for that. And that's who we are. And that's our ideal customer. It's, you know, not someone just looking for the best price. Like, that's who we want.
Do you do a lot of public or private work?
So we do, right now I'd say we're about 60% residential work.
Okay.
Redoing, it's like, whether it's a new construction, you know, and initially doing all the excavation, utilities, boulder walls, sod, and then you know, redoing. We tear out a lot of, there's a huge market in repairing failing retaining walls.
Yep.
Because 30 years ago, everyone's putting in timbers, and somebody's walls are 20 feet tall and they're a big deal. They're holding up a whole house or a side of a road or a cul-de-sac. Yep. So now all those timber walls are rotted and falling out, and every single one of them needs to be replaced. So we source our own boulders from northern Minnesota, and then we use them on our jobs. We sell to other contractors. So we do a ton of boulder. We have two crews that all they do is boulder walls, with excavators, rotating grapples. So we do a lot of that. And then we're about 40% commercial.
Okay.
If you have a new bank that you need all the excavation utilities on, a new, youth center, anything like that, anything excavation utilities, site grading, site prep, that's what we do. So about 40% that, 60% residential. And then snow plowing is like, we have 40 guys in snow, but it's there's not any material really. It's all just like, it's all time. It's all time for equipment and people. There's some salt, whatever. But that's really like 5-10% of what we do. You know, there's it takes a lot to do $500,000 in snow. That's a lot of snow plowing.
That's a lot of snow.
Where that's one excavation job, you know, that can take a month.
Yeah.
So, and but there's 200,000-300,000 material, and, you know, there's 100,000 depending on the job, you know, but there's a lot more expense, a lot more goes into it.
So what's the future then? I mean, looking like for you guys, what do you, I mean, it's family business. You guys are running the show. I mean, where do you take this in the next, you know, 5 years? What's the goal?
So right now in the summertime, we're at about 30 employees. So about five to six crews. So five different jobs every day. Some are day jobs. Some are, you know, 2 months long. So like it's funny, like you asked that. That's like now I think like I don't really know what it's like to have 50 employees, you know, in the summertime in our busy season until we get there. So it's like we might get there and love it. Like, yeah, let's go to 100, or we might be like, you know, this is too much. Like we like 30.
Yeah.
Like right now we have 30, and like and everything's going well. You know, we're not like so stretched thin that we're just like it's chaos.
Yep.
You know, so we, like we have it. We worked our way up. You know, we have 8 guys and 12, and then we had 15, and we had 20. You know, we didn't just go from 4 to 40. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be a disaster. That many new people, and you wouldn't have the processes and the systems to manage that many people and to keep track of everything. Everything would just out of control. Yep. That's not really realistic. So it's been, you know, it feels like it's been 20 minutes, but it's also been a little bit. You know, and we've grown, like we've always got to work before the people or the equipment. Because I'm not going to go buy a $100,000 skid loader and then hope I get to work for it. I'm going to get to work for it. And then if, say I can't get that right now, I got to wait a few months. I'm going to rent because I can go rent anything, you know, for it's expensive, but it can be done. That's what we've always done. We've always gotten the work and then get the people and the equipment to do it. Mm-hmm. And you like some jobs, you can schedule them 6 months. So I got 6 months to find 2 more guys and to get that piece of equipment. No problem. I'll have that in a month.
Yep.
So like that's what we've done. That's the only way we're able to afford it, because you know we don't have a cash cow. We don't have, you know, we're not a trust fund baby. We don't have the money to buy the equipment and the people before we get the work.
Yeah.
So we've never just bought anything and kind of hope we have the work. This is in our industry anyway. We don't buy anything until we have like 3 days worth of work for it consistently for several months. Because then I figure that buys enough time to keep it going 10 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Well, it's interesting too, because you see a lot of companies grow when they're starting, and some will continue to grow, and then they'll even back off and go, you know, this was our sweet spot. You know, we grew because it was fun and exciting, and you know, it was just like we're growing to grow.
Yeah.
But then it was like, this is way harder. Our profits are down. Like
this ain't worth it.
Why am I doing this? Right. You know, when I could be here and life is great. Everyone's making money. Everyone's happy. We're all, you know. So like you see that pattern too. Like they'll go to this and they'll come back, and I even think about that too. I'm like, you know, what are we trying to grow here? Because I tell guys in the industry, I'm like, you could have a 1 or 2 man team, be extremely good at what you do, pick and choose your jobs, make a ton of money, have all the freedom and time you want, and you'd be super happy.
Yep.
And we've you know thought about that, and we're like, well, we want to at least try to build something, you know, like this, and you know, multiple locations and developing people and teams. And maybe after we have this second location, we're like,
you might hate
this
it.
Sucks. Like, yeah, let's not do this.
Because now there's a problem there and a problem here, and I'm trying to go in between. So like your question of like, where do you want to go? I mean, like we like 30 people, like 30 employees. I can know them all. You know, like it's we want to have flexibility. I don't want it just to be me and you working here, and you're never going to get very far. Because in a small company, there's only so much room to grow.
Yeah.
Like if it was me and my brother and another guy, like the other guy would never make $200,000. We can't do enough work to ever afford to pay him that.
Right.
You know, so we want to be to that point, like I said, like where we can have people for their career. Because to have someone for their career, you have to be to a size where you can pay, you know, $60,000 to $100,000 a year plus benefits and everything else. Mm-hmm. So like if it's just me and another guy, that can be tough. You know, so we want to be to that size where we can start people, it's their first job, and keep them for their career.
Yep.
So like we do that now. We have 401k, we match half of their health insurance.
Yep.
You know, we do paid time off, we do overtime after 40, we do dentist, match 401k, everything. So like that nowadays, you to be competitive long term, you have to do that. If you're just starting out, don't freak out about it. Like you'll get there, but long term, you'll find that people ask that, you know, what are the benefits like? It's like, well, we don't have any. Well, you know, it's going to be harder to compete.
Yeah. So. No, we've been even slowly doing a lot of that too. You know, the only thing that we're missing right now is health insurance.
It's so expensive.
It's just like so expensive. I mean, I haven't had health insurance for like 7 years.
I'm right. And dude, I could care less.
Yeah.
So I've been to the doctor once. That was for stitches in my hand at my other job because I didn't have the right tool for the job I was doing. But since then, like I could care less. Sound like you care less too, but there's other people. That's a big deal.
Yep.
You know, we've had people, we had a guy quit because our health insurance was too expensive. That was his big thing because he was always there in his family and whatever. So like that to some people, that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. If it was me, I'd be like, health insurance. Yeah, forget that. I don't need that. Like I ain't gonna go.
You know how much I've saved the last 7 years not doing that?
Yeah, me too. But like but that, no, that's not then, that's not everyone. Yeah.
Yep.
So like you know you learn of kind of like because you're one way or another, like that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean so and so. You're not gonna convince so and so of that.
Right.
You know, he's going to leave because you don't have health insurance. So, and that guy's a good guy. He has 20 years experience. He gets the work done. He's reliable. Like, you know, you kind of, to some degree, you have to be accommodating.
Oh, And some of that too is like even more generational. You know, you'll see a lot of that too change, because like 100%. what motivates a young single guy is going to motivate, you know, a family man different, which motivates, yep, you know, somebody in their 50s, you know, different. And it's like
100%.
Everyone's got that, yeah, yep, that balance. And
everyone has pros and cons. Like everyone, there's, yep, things that you love about a guy, and there's things that you aren't as excited about, and you got to take the good with the bad. There's no in between. Like, mm-hmm, everyone's going to have a couple bad days a year, and you got to put up with those.
Yep.
You can't just, you know, let them go for those 3 days and bring them back. Like, that's not how it works.
No.
So that's what I've learned, is that I've never met a single guy that has never had a bad day. Like, have you? Oh. No, I haven't. So I've yet to find one. So if you're a guy in the excavation industry or landscape, and you've never had a bad day in your life, give me a call. I got a job for you. Anything you want to do.
Oh, man. Well, dude, just before, you know, we start wrapping things up here, you know, I always like to ask people, you know, we got a lot of, I don't know, business owners and entrepreneurs that listen and stuff like that in the area. And, you know, for you, it's unique too, because a lot of people we have are, you know, multi-generational companies. They're coming in a lot of different areas. You've really unique starting your own. I mean, there's a lot of things that you learn with that. You know, what have been some like of those key things that have helped you succeed and that you've learned that could help somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like starting from like generational, like I have no idea what that's like. Yep. Like, I don't know what that's like, but like if you're like me, where you started from like literally from the ground up, having nothing and like not having connections, no money, no nothing. You, like I said, we didn't have any money. So, you know, taking money, you know, that you hear it takes money to make money. Really, it just, mm-hmm, takes work ethic, because you can start and make a dollar, and then you can make $10 and you can work your way up. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. So like, I think the biggest thing is like knowing your why, because if you're not in this for the right reason, it'll never work out. People, yep, can tell when you're genuine. When people see you excited about a job and you really want to do it and you're excited, they want to hire you. It's like a natural thing. It's like an unspoken thing that will get you a lot of work. So if you're not enthusiastic about it, if you're not excited about what you're doing, about your employees, your company, you're going to struggle. Like it's not going to be easy. It's like if you're not doing it for the right reason, it won't work. It won't work long term. So figure out your why, what you really want, what you're passionate about, because not everyone, you know, knows what they're passionate about. I know some people are working for 20 years in different jobs. Like, I don't know what I like. And I'm, mm-hmm, like that sucks. That sucks to be there. Like I'm very fortunate to have found what I like doing early on.
Yep.
You know, that's what I've done. So figure out, like, try this, try that industry, and do it for a year and see if you like it. Like, you know, just try it out, or start that business. And if it doesn't go good, try to sell it, use that for something else. Or, you know, like, just figure out your why, what you want to do long term. Think of the big picture always, and then just, you know, take it as far as you want. And don't be afraid to grow. Like one thing I was going to mention is, like, it's a lot easier to downsize than it is to grow.
Yeah.
So if we grow to 50 employees, say we like 30 better, well, we can get rid of the employees that you know, the least performers. We get rid of the customers we don't want, mm-hmm, any of the equipment that we don't want, mm-hmm, and now we just kept the cream of the crop, and now we're happy again at 30. So.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to grow, to try to see what that's like. And then, because you get downsizing is a lot easier than growing. So, I mean, yes, the economy can tank and it can be harder to downsize, but it's a lot easier than, you can kind of take what, keep what you want then, mm-hmm, you know, so.
Well, you'll never know unless you do it.
100%.
And you got to learn from doing.
That's what I've learned. Like, yep. Like, I've learned so much just from doing it. Like, you will never know what it's like to own a business with 30 employees or 5 employees or 2 unless you go and do it. Like, mm-hmm, you can talk to 15 guys that have that, and you're never going to know what it's like. Because, mm-hmm, at the end of the day, you walk out of their office, none of it's on you. It's like, mm-hmm, you're required to pay the rent here. You're required, mm-hmm, to pay these guys' payroll. I'm not, you know, mm-hmm, it's like, it's no stress to me about, yep, these guys. Like, yep, I got, you know, my own stuff to worry about. So I'm never going to know what that's like until you get there. Mm-hmm. You never will. So just go out there and start doing, you know, less talk, more action.
I like that. I like that. Well, sick, dude. I really appreciate you coming on, and it's been a blast. Appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me down.
And as always, guys, thank you for tuning in this week. You know, we appreciate you listening. You know, definitely if you learned something, got something that you can apply, hopefully you did. I know I did. Make sure to share this out. Keep sharing it. And, yeah, we're excited to see you guys in the next one.